on the Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. I'm 100% certain about two things when it comes to the Mets. Number one, David Stearns is not going anywhere. He's not going to get fired. He's not going to be relieved of his duties. David Stearns is not going anywhere. I am 100% certain about that. That's the first thing. The second thing is I am 100% certain that the Mets are going to hire a general manager, somebody to work not underneath David Stearns, not even above necessarily David Stearns, but with David Stearns. So I'm 100% certain that David Stearns is not going to get fired. I'm 100% certain that the Mets are going to hire a general manager, either late in the year or in the offseason, and I'm 80% sure it's going to be Carlos Beltran. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to, a good bank here. Oh, including somebody that got some information on the blue Spider-Man mask. So we'll get to Juan coming up in just a second here. But first, Russ in Norwalk, Connecticut joins us here on After Hours. Russ, what can I do you for?
Lugie, how you doing?
What's happening?
I appreciate your positiveness, but I want to ask you a question. Can you say this with very much, you're certain that Stearns isn't getting fired, and you're also certain that they're going to bring another GM.
I am.
That's what you just said.
Yep.
What makes you say that?
Okay. So as far as David Stearns, I think that Steve Cohen hired this man to turn the Mets into what we see with the Brewers. And I get it. The Brewers haven't won a championship, but they win that division year in and year out. They win a lot of games every year. So he sees what he did in Milwaukee, and he wants that for his Mets. That's what he hired him to do. Now, they caught lightning in a bottle in 24. I think a lot of what you're seeing now is David Stearns putting his stamp on the team. And I'm not going to suggest that all the moves he made this year obviously worked out, but as far as the young players, as far as the pipeline, as far as building up the minor league system and having a pipeline from other countries to join the Mets, you know what I mean, and get players from those countries. I think that's where David Stearns will flourish, and I think that they will realize, hey, maybe not the general manager portion of it, but as, you know, president of baseball operations, he can thrive, and then we bring in somebody like Carlos Beltran to learn along with David Stearns and all the connections that Carlos has. And I'm just using Beltran. It could be somebody else, but I just think they're going to hire a GM and now have David do what his actual job is, which is baseball operations, and then the general manager could be the general manager of the team.
So one of the things Met fans are really fired up about, and rightfully so, they're not as positive as you, Tommy, like me and a lot of bunch of us on Twitter and all the different spaces that go on out there, podcasts, et cetera.
Yeah.
They're upset that the guy's smirks, the guy's attitude, the guy's demeanor.
Yes.
And then of course his baseball decisions.
But let me add a little bit of humor to this. So you're on social media, you are aware of what's going on. When I say something in a clip that maybe is negative about your team or you disagree with, everybody will point to the fact that I wear my hat backwards or that I have a necklace or whatever the case may be. So I think it's more just a frustration thing because the team is not playing well, and that's why they don't like the smirk. They don't like the smugness. It's because the team is not succeeding. And I get it, but I think it's more to
that's
do with that
it,
than it
I,
is a guy yeah. smiling or feeling like
but
he's
I
a smug.
Think for me, what really bothered me about this guy is last year they had injuries early on,
mm-hmm.
and he did nothing all year last year, 25 now, to get this team over the finish line to make the playoffs. He did nothing to help the team get better.
The deadline moves that he made, you wouldn't count those? I'm not suggesting that they helped, but he did make
moves. The deadline moves were horrendous.
But he did try, though.
He tried, but he wasn't successful. It was terrible.
Correct.
But
the way you phrased it, so that's why I'm just clarifying what you said. You made it sound like he didn't do anything. It's more about he wasn't successful at what he did.
No, he did all the wrong things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, he did all
it's
the
just
wrong
a better
things.
Way to phrase
he didn't do the right.
It. Yeah.
Okay, he didn't do all the right things,
mm-hmm.
Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was during the season last year. Then this year's offseason, I mean, and then you let Pete Alonso walk or go, and then you overpay for Bichette almost $50 million. Well, you could have given that to Pete for 5 years. Who cares about 4 years from now? Mets fans want to win now. They're not worried about 5 years.
I understand
years from
that.
Now.
No, I totally understand that. I think this organization, they wanted to win this year, next year, the year after that. Well, and the decisions they made in the offseason were for both, not only to just win this year, but also down the line. That was the Nimmo trade. That was the Alonso sort of showing him the door. Yeah. Those were supposed to be moves that set them up for the long term. And then the short term stuff was Peralta, Bichette, et cetera.
But I don't think that Stearns understood the chemistry of the team, that data analytics don't show. He didn't understand the chemistry of the team. He goes to Japan and scouts a first baseman.
I know that, but Russ, that chemistry you're talking about was responsible for two separate collapses.
Well, you could say that, or you could just point to the pitching was horrible last year.
But you know what? If I pointed to another organization and their core had the two collapses, do you think any fan base would say, oh, keep that core? Or do you think a lot of fan base would say, break up the core? I'll take it a step further, Russ. There are people that want to break up the Knicks core. They just want a championship. People love breaking up cores.
That's not yours truly. You know what I'm saying, though. The devil is better than the one you don't know. I mean, just look at Pete Alonso. He's having a great year.
He is having a great year again.
He started slow, too, and he's having a good year. And think about it. We need a power first baseman right-handed. He fit our team perfectly, Pete Alonso.
But you know, but here, and I don't want to be a bad guy because I love Pete. What is the Orioles record?
This isn't basketball. One player doesn't make a team.
But you're making it like Pete Alonso. Yeah, but you just made it that it was one player makes a team. And then when I give you the Orioles record, which cuts your argument.
He'd make a difference on the Mets. Behind
how
Soto?
Many games?
Absolutely.
What would their record be if Pete Alonso was on the team?
Let me ask you something. Would the Mets have been in the NLCS 2 years ago if it wasn't?
No,
for
no,
Pete
I'm not taking away what Pete did. I'm not talking about 24.
Wow.
I'm saying
yeah, you are.
They're 34
yeah,
and 26. Would they have 12 more Lugie. Wins with Pete Alonso?
Lugie, he's a future Hall of Famer.
He better get to 500
home runs.
Let
him walk.
12? Would they have 12 wins?
I'm not talking about his individual.
I'm not talking about individual. Would they have 12 more wins if Pete Alonso was on the team? Would they?
Well, let's put it to you this way. They'd be a little more watchable. This team's unwatchable.
If they have 12 more wins, they'd be 500.
Lugie,
that would be if they had
Lugie,
12 more
this
wins.
This is the third worst team in the National League.
Right,
this
but you want I want to see a winner. I don't want to just sit there and be entertained, though, either. Yeah, you'd have more home runs from Pete Alonso, but you'd also want them to win.
Lugie, is the team worse off today than it was before Stearns got here or right now? Was the team worse off now after 3 years of Stearns than it was when he got here? Let me ask you that question.
Yeah, but you gotta remember they went to the NLCS with David Stearns. And they were
Those weren't his moves yet. That was him barely touching the team. Now he touches the roster, and the roster's been demoralized. It stinks.
Yes, but a lot of the players is not the players that he brought in.
He just made moves for players that aren't even playing right now.
They got hurt.
Polanco, he traded for injured players.
But they got hurt.
Pete Alonso.
Do you think the Mets record would be better with Nimmo and McNeil and Alonso on the team right now?
I know you're listen, Tommy. You're positive.
How am I being positive?
I don't even think I'm being positive.
I'm just asking you a question.
If I was owning this team and I spent $385 million on the third worst team in the
league, then why hasn't he done anything?
That guy who's making those decisions would not be making them anymore.
Well, why hasn't he done it? Then why hasn't he fired him?
It's shocking, actually.
Yeah. No, I don't think it is when you consider the fact that he hired this guy to do a job and he's going to let him see it through. He's going to let him see it through. I hit you with the shot there, but you didn't want to. You ignored it. The Orioles are 38-44. They're 38-44. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Greg in Atlanta. He's on After Hours. What's up, Greg?
Lugie. Good, always good talking to you, sir. We usually have a good conversation here. So, hey. Like my second or third time calling in.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get your take on this. This is my take. I think you're going to like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, large, long Mets fan, but The version of the Mets I'm seeing right now, the theme that I say, they're more of a cosplay, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to break it down right now. From top
for
to bottom.
For those of you that don't know in the audience what that means is if we just talked about Spider-Man earlier, if I dress up as Spider-Man and I act like Spider-Man, right. I'm cosplaying as Spider-Man.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So let's start from the top. The president of operations, okay, David Stearns. Mm-hmm. Sharp guy, you know, he knows his analytics and stuff. I don't think we can I agree with you with the whole thing with the general manager thing coming in. I think that'll be a great thing. We need somebody charismatic. We need somebody who has a baseball eye.
You know, I'm glad that you brought up that word, too. I think the charisma, and because, you know what, David Stearns, and I'm not trying to defend him, but maybe he is just a socially awkward dude or whatever. You bring in a guy that could be the face of the front office and can meet the media, and we know a guy like Carlos Beltran, who is beloved by this, I would think, the majority of the fan base. I mean, he was one of the best Mets of my lifetime, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And he's obviously a Hall of Famer, and he's getting his number retired. I think that would be the perfect sort of face for the front office, a guy with that sort of charisma and respect around baseball. So I think that's a great point by you, Greg, as far as the charismatic angle.
Right. So that's what I said. So I hopefully won't see David Stearns cosplay as a GM next year. So we get him out of the way now. Now regarding the manager, mm-hmm. Carlos Mendoza, mm-hmm. he's cosplaying as a manager. He's a bench coach guy. Don't get me wrong. He played baseball before. I'm not getting the energy from him. I watch that guy. He's pouting. He's standing there. I would expect more, a little bit more for a manager, especially even behind the scenes, trying to get these guys motivated. I think he's lost the team, so he's cosplaying. So we get him out the way. Last but not least, the roster. Okay, we've got guys trying to be first baseman. They're cosplaying. Some of these guys are not a first baseman. You got Bo Bichette. He's kind of out of position. He's playing shortstop right now, but he's going to go back to third. He's been decent.
He's been better than advertised as far as defensively. No.
Yeah, but yes.
I hear what you're saying, though, as far as moving him to a spot where he wasn't. Now, listen, he wasn't the greatest of shortstop, so it's not like you're moving, Ozzie Smith over to another position. He wasn't a great fielder to begin with at shortstop, so I can understand the thought process there, but I hear you as far as playing out of position.
And don't get me wrong. The other thing is, regarding just the team in general, excluding like one or two offensive guys like Soto. There's guys in here cosplaying like they're high average hitters and home run hitters. And the other thing is, better yet. You remember you were talking about the Spider-Man mask?
Mm-hmm.
I got one for you. Why don't they wear the Spider-Man mask every time they hit a home run with somebody on base? I bet you won't hardly see that Spider-Man mask.
Well, I'm sure they want people to see the Spider-Man mask. But I'm glad that you had a take on that, Greg, because that's something that we are going to unveil here on After Hours, probably in the midsummer. I was going to say midsummer months, but, you know, right around the All-Star break. So a few weeks from now. So homework assignment. Because we've had a lot of callers to this show critique the Mets for, whether it was the hard hat or the Spider-Man mask, they're upset that they're doing that because they're either down by a bunch of runs or the record is not exactly stellar. So the mask annoys a portion, I think, of the fan base. So I don't think it's everybody. I don't think it's necessarily a hill to die on either, but I do think we could have some fun with it. You can tell me, hey, they can only wear the Spider-Man mask. So for Greg, it's with a runner on base and they hit a home run. So that's good. So situational. Or what does the Mets record have to be for them to put on a mask or whatever after they hit a home run? Or could they be on a winning streak? Like, hey, they're eight games under 500, but they're on a four-game winning streak. So is that okay now to bring out the Spider-Man mask? And what does the score need to be in the game for you to be okay with said Met after a home run wearing said Spider-Man mask? Let's go to Juan in North Bergen, New Jersey. What's up, Juan?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
So I just had some thoughts about the Spider-Man mask. It's not like just specific for the Mets. I feel like if a team is down so badly, you know, chemistry-wise, record, whatever the case may be, I feel like instead of celebrating, you know, with masks and props like that, it's better to maybe get back to basics, you know, fundamental baseball. I feel like if a team does that, they should be, like, it should be as a reward, not just, you know, given this when you're down 11-0 to one run home run.
So you're looking at it from a team that's, so record-wise, I would imagine they'd have to at least be 500 in order for them to be partaking in celebratory.
Or in like a playoff contention, maybe.
Okay.
You know, something like that.
Something where, well, everybody's basically in playoff contention, but in terms of, you mean like realistically one, or one that where you're close, where you're either in a playoff spot or a game or two out, let's call it.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like the Mets specifically, there's a lot of like separation in the clubhouse, you know, with Lindor and Soto. I feel like the chemistry is just off on the team in general. And, you know, Mask is, I'm not like knocking the Mask for, you know, every team, like I said, but I feel like when there's so much else you can do, you know, you need to connect in the clubhouse, you know, you need to be together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like a Mask shouldn't be like done when there's so much, you know, so much of a collapse.
Yeah, I think
the way, you know?
I think what you're saying, Juan, and you haven't used the word yet, but I believe what you're trying to say is it's tone deaf.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, you could use that, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like it's lacking a little bit in the self-awareness department. I don't, let me put it this way, and I don't know, it sounds like you feel the same way, but when I watch the game and they do that type of stuff, it doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't get me that pumped up. Maybe if they had a better record, I'd be more pumped up, to your point. But with the record they have and them doing it, it doesn't really bother me that much, because I don't think it has anything to do with a lack of professionalism or a lack of focus. I really think it's, if anything, it's more of a positive than it is a negative. But there are people that see that and their frustrations get taken out on that, because they're frustrated with Cohen and Stearns and Mendoza and the team.
Yeah,
and Simeon,
for sure.
And the,
like,
record.
You know, what the organization did to like Alonso, for example, you know, I feel like that's completely like so much disrespect. You know, there's just a lot to blame, and you know, I understand why Mets fans are so angry with
Yeah, and there's
going to
be a lot of
Mets
fans, Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of Mets fans, Juan, that might not ever get over the Alonso situation. I, for one, want to look at front of the jersey more than back of the jersey. I wish Alonso great success. I wanted him to be retained, but I still root for the front of the jersey, and I'm willing to let that part of it go, even the fact that it was, in your words, a disrespectful, or I'm sure a lot of people feel that way as well. I think it was more just business, but I understand it. All-time leading home run guy, been here for a while, you know, embraced the Met culture, and
you
didn't want to offer him a contract.
Know?
Yeah, no, I get it. I get that part of it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I don't think, are going to let it go. I'm worried about the here and now and the team that exists, and I know a lot of people want to continue to bring it up, and I'm not going to certainly say don't bring it up, but it's just like we got to look forward and move on from that. And if Alonso ends up having a great career with Baltimore and they win a World Series, then David Stearns and Steve Cohen will be held accountable, certainly by the fans. That's for certain.
Yeah, they'll be gods. Yeah.
Well,
like, I just feel like there's a lot that the Mets can do. You know, there's just so much that they can do to better their team. You know, they're the top. They have the top payroll in the league.
Oh, you know what,
Juan?
By the way,
it's a dumpster fire. You know,
I don't mean to cut you off there, but because it just struck in my brain. Really, the Alonso thing, I think, for not for all, but for many, it would have been something that they wouldn't bring up anymore if the replacement, whether it be Polanco, who hasn't seen the field, or if they would have brought in any one of these other first basemen like a Murakami or a Ryan O'Hearn or somebody that has been producing. If they had brought in a first baseman that produced, maybe not to the level of Alonso, but was playing well, I think a lot of fans would have said, okay, you know what? The record is what it is. We wish we had Alonso, but the player they brought in, got to give him credit. He's played well, so hats off in that scenario. But the fact that Polanco hasn't been on the diamond, it just makes that Alonso situation worse.
100%. And, you know, the last success the Mets had was, like, you know, I think their last caller mentioned it. The last success was the NLCS. They wouldn't have touched that without Alonso, you know. So
yeah, of course.
I just feel like there's a lot of pain that comes with it. You know, he did come up big for them in very, very clutch times. But I do agree with you 100%. You know, it does matter about, you know, the present matters more than anything. And, you know, the front of the jersey matters more instead of, like, just last names. But the team just needs to come together in general. You know, I feel like there's too much of a rift between the players. They either need to figure out if Lindor is going to be the main guy, Soto, you know, the main guy, instead of them competing for that top spot, whether it's trading Lindor or, you know, whatever they need to do to come together.
I think if they end
up
being sellers here, and I don't think the Peterson trade is necessarily a sign that they're going to be sellers, but if they ultimately come to that conclusion and decision, I think the biggest decision they have is Lindor. And what they decide to do there. Because, look, Bichette, he could, in theory, opt in. Holmes, the same type of situation. So Lindor is the one, and there were rumblings in the offseason that the Padres and Mets had had talks about trades. I don't think if Lindor's name was specifically mentioned, but the idea was, oh, maybe Lindor could be on the move to San Diego. So this is something that they are going to have to think long and hard about. I know there's a lot of Met fans that are done with him because of, much like with Stearns, they don't want to see him smile. And I understand that the team's not playing well. But the Lindor future of this on this team is a big decision that this front office and ownership are going to have to come to a conclusion on if they decide to be sellers in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, no, 100%. And, like, you know, Soto is, like, idolized in that clubhouse.
Yeah.
You can obviously see it. And Lindor being, you know, the veteran is obviously mad about it. You know, it's, you know, they're just, they need to sell Lindor in order for the chemistry just to get better in the clubhouse, for them to be playing better, come together as a team. I just feel like the separation on that team is just huge. People don't know if they want to, like, side with Soto or Lindor, maybe get them mad. You know, I just feel like there's, something needs to be done, and I feel like what needs to be done is getting rid of Lindor. He's a great player. I'm not saying anything about his play, but just to fix the chemistry and for the team.
Okay,
you know, it's about the team.
So let me just, I'll step in there. And again, you're getting positive Tommy in moderation tonight. You're not getting moderate Tommy or negative Tommy or even positive Tommy in his full capacity. We have seen teams, and it's well documented across the major sports, because with the benefit of not only the media, but documentaries, things of that nature, there have been championship teams where, yeah, when they got on the field, they were teammates. They would do whatever they had to do for their teammate. But behind the scenes, they hated each other. They hated each other. I think how you overcome that is a strong, whether it's a coach or manager, to navigate those waters with that type of vibe. If that, in fact, is the case in the Mets locker room, where if you had a strong presence in there to make all of that work, because I'm sorry, you could call up Boomer, call up Tiki, don't call me. I've never been, and as far as this, I'm not a professional athlete or former professional athlete, but ask Tiki, ask Boomer. They've been in a million locker rooms, and they'll tell you, not everybody got along. Not everybody liked each other. I'm sure there were cliques. In many ways, it was like high school. But, and that's them knowing that the locker rooms they're in, and also just other locker rooms. They're talking to guys. They have friends in the league when they're playing, and they'll tell you that. I'm sure they'll tell you that. And that's on every team, including championship teams. But you need that strong leader at the top. Not the Dave Clark five. You know, you need that strong leader at the top. If in fact there are issues, and it would be understandable because, like I said, you have a bunch of grown men, big egos, whatever the case may be, you're going to have people that don't like each other for whatever reason. And certainly the fan base has speculated on that, but it's just human nature. Go to any office building, any wherever, and you're going to have people that don't like each other. But you know what? If there's strong leadership, they'll get along and they'll have success on the field. Get along on the field. Not to get along off the field, but on the field. And that will lead to, because especially if they're talented, like Soto and Lindor are. And again, pure, I know there were some reports, but this is pure speculation that they don't like each other. Until one of them comes out and says it, I feel like it's just reporting and speculation. I need to hear one of them say it in order to totally buy it in. But we're ultimately going to find out what their decision is, because you know Soto's not going anywhere. Lindor is a different conversation. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Now, when I saw the Spider-Man mask, and I fancy myself, look, I've seen all the Marvel movies. I wouldn't call myself an avid comic book reader, but I did read comic books to a degree when I was younger. I'd like to think that I know a thing or two about the Marvel universe. When I saw the Spider-Man mask that AJ Ewing wore, and I was thrown off because I was like, okay, a blue Spider-Man. So I, on the air, was trying to think out loud and figure out if maybe I'm missing something or there's a deeper meaning to it that I was unaware of outside of comic books. Maybe that's why it's blue. I have no idea. But I'm not an expert. I know a lot, but not an expert. But we do have an expert on the air, and he, of course, is also a huge Met fan, and that is Eric in Ronkonkoma. Eric, good to hear from you. If you could help fill in the blanks for me on the Spider-Man stuff, I would greatly appreciate that.
Hi, Tommy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to hear from you.
So, okay. Yeah, Fleeks reached out to me. You know, it's interesting. Well, first off, I got to say that the mask was made by a young kid who did a phenomenal job, you know, on the design.
Yeah, it's sweet.
It looks nice, but I sent Fleeks a picture, and if he gets a chance, he can show you what it probably should look like, given the Mets colors. But the there's nothing specific to that color mask in the Spider-Man universe as we know it. Now, you know, you being a Marvel fan, I'm probably not as much as I am, but, you know, I have a lot more time on you to be a fan.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me in the least if there is a version of that in the Spider-Verse, you know. And who knows? You know, they're still working on that third movie.
Yeah.
They might get wind of this mask that the Mets are using and put that in the third movie. You never know. But the only blue one that I really know of that's consistent is Spidey 2099, which is won by Miguel, who was a main part of the second Spider-Verse movie.
Yeah, Fleeks was telling me about that off-air because I had forgotten about that. Yeah, I would love to see Met wearing that Spider-Man mask or something like that in a movie. That would be great.
Yeah. I mean, so it wouldn't surprise me at all because they have changed up, you know, the some of the versions that I am I'm aware of. They've changed it up in the Spider-Verse for different, you know, versions of it. So wouldn't surprise me if this one shows up in there. I mean, you know, they showed, what, like 1,000 of them standing in a room in the second Spider-Verse movie. So for all we know, it could have already been in there, you know. But, so that's how I would lay that out. But now to answer your question, as far as when, you know, when it's acceptable, I guess, to say,
yeah,
where's, you know, and by the way, it is a trident. It's not Triton.
What I call it, a Triton. Right. Yeah, I don't know where I got that from. There's got to be a Triton. Triton sounds like it's something, though, but it's a Triton.
Triton like is actually a character. It's not it's a person.
There you go.
So, right.
Yes.
Okay. But, I mean, me personally, whether they're winning or losing, I think it's, you know, I don't think it really should be done at all, but it's clearly made its way into baseball, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, whenever they do it, I mean, I think it's, I think it is kind of silly to do it when you're getting pummeled, you know. But, I mean, I personally wouldn't do it at all. I'd rather they just focus on the, you know, on the game itself. But then again, look what they used to do in 86. They used to, you know, put bubblegum bubbles on tops of people's hat or light the shoes on fire or whatever.
Yep.
So
exactly. Or smoke a cigarette in the dugout or whatever they used to do back there. Probably even worse.
A much lighter version. Right, exactly. You know. So, I mean, if they're having fun, you know, then fine. I just like to see the focus a little bit more, you know, on the game. And unfortunately, the Mets are in a spot right now where, you know, it's it doesn't look great. And honestly, I was surprised when I saw the Peterson news. You know, my nephew and Mike from Brooklyn basically texted me at the same time.
Seems like they got a great return, though, for him. They got a guy that has been doing well in the minors and was a second-round pick a couple years ago.
But I heard you mention the injury history, though. And
I
mean, they do have a tendency to get players that have an extensive injury history. And a lot of time, I mean, look what's going on with Polanco. Polanco has an injury history. He's been MIA, and same thing with Luis Robert Jr. You know, I mean, it's unfortunately they do grab guys like that because they do come at a easier to
you're going to say discount, obtain. Yeah, or discount or whatever,
right? Yeah. Right, easier to obtain, and you know, it usually bites them in the rear. So, we'll see. But I mean, look, the fact of the matter is they are going to be sellers. At this point, it's just a shame that, you know, there were a lot of high hopes for some people. I wasn't looking at it that way. I went in with no expectations, but, you know, you also don't want to, you know, like C-Mac said yesterday, at the halfway point of the season, you know, you're looking at a dead season already. So, you know, I know you were kind of hoping for that 8-game winning streak. I just don't see it in their personnel to be able to pull that off right now. So,
Yeah, I just, you know what it is, Eric, and I appreciate the call. I appreciate all the expertise there on the Spider-Verse. To me, it was the way to get them back to where they're near 500. You know, I looked at June as it's a tough schedule. If they could finish 500 in June, meaning their record in June is 500, that would be good considering Lindor out, schedule difficult. And then in July, they can go on what I've been searching for here ever since the 12-game losing streak, and that is something to offset it, which is an 8-game winning streak, which even teams that have bad years, they go on 8-game winning streaks. So I still think it's on the horizon, and that's why I continue to hold out hope and positivity for it. Now, one thing you said there, Eric, and you know I love you, but you're not the first to say it, and I said it to others, I didn't say it to you there, but I'll say it to you now. You could poke and prod and be upset about the Spider-Man mask or a hard hat or whatever the Mets use as a prop after a home run. And you have every right to be annoyed at that if the team is losing. Where I disagree with what you just said there and others have said is I don't think it has anything to do with them not having focus. You hit a home run, it's before the next batter is up at the plate, everybody's celebrating in the dugout anyway, like a player would run by all his teammates, high five anyway, so all you're really doing is putting on a mask, you take a picture, you take it off, and then you go back to sitting and watching the game. I defended Jazz with the lollipop. And I still will, but to me, you could argue that is more not being focused, but even though I don't think it was, but where he's enjoying a lollipop. If somebody wore the mask on the field, much like I joked, if Jazz Chisholm was out there, you know, shooting off fireworks, like it was the 4th of July, or grilling hot dogs and hamburgers, or having a 3-course meal, yeah, then I could see where it's a focus thing. But if a player, if AJ Ewing went out to center and had the mask on, then I can understand where, hey, his focus is not on the game. He's walking around in a Spider-Man mask. But this is in the dugout. This is after a home run. Most of the stuff that's going on in there anyway is just chilling, watching the game, chewing gum, eating sunflower seeds, whatever the case may be. So I don't think it's a focus thing. I really don't. I don't think you lose. I don't think the Mets committing 6 errors in game 2 has anything to do with a Spider-Man mask. That's for sure. It's just something to poke at because, yeah, look, it is open season on the Mets, and there is a lot of frustration, anger, and bewilderment with my fellow Mets fans. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Lugie in the late night here. If you're on hold, we will get to you. Got another 25 minutes before Gordon Damer comes your way at 2 a.m. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is after hours here on The Fan. 141 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call for the final 18 minutes here until Gordon Damer takes over at 2 a.m. And then I'll be back after the Yankee game in Boston, 7:05, 7:10 start. So figure more around. I was on at 10 tonight, so figure, or maybe a little later than that, like 10:15. But figure 10:30, 10:45, 11 o'clock tomorrow for the final after hours of this week. This Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. My focus is the Spider-Man mask. Because, number one, I think it looks sweet. And number two, it's been a little bit of a hot topic around here. First, it was the hard hat stuff. Then it was the Spider-Man mask. I don't think it's a big deal. In fact, coming up, my next, let's call it Big Lugowski, 5-hour show. Not an overnight, but a 7 p.m. to midnight. Whenever I have the next one of those, we're going to unveil a new game here on After Hours. And that is, when is it acceptable to wear, this, let's just call it, a home run celebration prop, whether it's a Spider-Man mask, whether it's the hard hat, whether it's the jacket that the Blue Jay players wear after a home run. When is it acceptable? Meaning, what's the score in the game? What is the record of the team? Are they on a winning streak? Are they on a losing streak? All those factors couple all those factors in, and then let me know when you are okay with them, the Met players, having a celebration prop and wearing that and utilizing it. Let's go to Mary in Brooklyn here on The Fan. What's up, Mary?
How's it going tonight, Tommy?
Good, Mary. Hope everything's going good with your eyes. You gave me flashbacks of when I had all those problems with my contacts in college. I hope everything's good with your eyes and everything. You don't have any kind of infection in there.
No, not anymore, but now I'm getting headaches from my glasses, so whatever. But, you know, the Rockies have a jacket also. Let's not forget
about
them.
That's right. You're right. They do. And then, listen, Mary, you see it. Not every team does it, but there are a lot of teams around baseball that have a celebratory prop that they wear after hitting a home run.
Yeah, the Yankees certainly don't have that. But also, you mentioned the Yankee game tomorrow against the Red Sox. Schlittler's pitching, I think.
He's pitching in the series. He might be tomorrow, but he's going to be on the mound in Boston this weekend.
I'm not sure if you feel this way about McClain, but like, there's an excitement when Schlittler takes the mound.
Absolutely.
Because you just know he's going to be so dominant and so good, no matter who he faces.
Yeah, Mary, I think when it comes to excitement in baseball, the starting pitcher, to me, trumps anything else because they can control the entire game. Where a hitter, they're going to come up, you know, every four times in a game. But a pitcher, especially if he's on his A game, could be out there for 7, 8, maybe even 9 innings. Certainly, that was more the case back in the day. But, yeah, when Cam Schlittler's up there throwing 100 miles an hour and controlling a game like he's done all year, or that famous wild card game clincher against the Red Sox, that is the type of stuff that really captivates, I think, the audience. And that is, to me, the last sort of must-see thing with baseball is that great elite starting pitcher.
Yeah, and pitching is 75% of the game, so.
Yep.
But anyway, about the mask, I'm saying, I hear whatever you're saying, like the problem that they have, and like I don't blame them. But what are they supposed to do? Only keep it for, like, sometimes, like, if it's, like, a go-ahead homer or something like that. Like they're just not going to do it. They're going to sit around and, like, just not do it if they're being compounded.
Yeah, and I think that's why, Mary, we've had and we're going to continue to have a little bit of fun with this, because I do think it is something that is more fun than something to get aggravated about, and that's why we're going to set up a, you as the audience out there, the After Hours audience, will let me know when you find it acceptable for a player, in this instance on the Mets, to wear said prop after a home run. Because to your point, does it have to be a go-ahead home run? Do you have to be up by 10 runs? Does it have to be late in the game and you go up by a run? Do you have to be on a winning streak? Do you have to be over 500? There's just so many different ways to look at this, and we'll get to the bottom of it really with our audience as far as when they find it acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my last thing is about Jazz, not about the lollipop, but more about his next year.
Mm-hmm.
This is obviously his walk year, and he's going to be a free agent. So I want to know what you think, if either he's going to sign with another team, and if he does, what team do you think he'll sign with? And also, who do you think the Yankees are going to get to play second base for them if Jazz doesn't come back?
Great questions. I think Jazz's story here hasn't been completely written. And I think based on what he does and the team does for the remainder of this season and through October will ultimately dictate Jazz's future. I'm sure he wants to stay here. Who wouldn't? It's New York City. It's the Yankees. It makes complete sense that you'd want to be here. So I think it's one of those scenarios where it hasn't been written yet. So once we have an idea of where this season ends up and the role that Jazz Chisholm plays in that, I'll be able to give a better opinion on that. And if he does leave, I'd have to look at free agents. I'd have to look. Actually, you know what? Let me give you one. And this is if it's in-house. I could see George Lombard Jr. being the shortstop and, believe it or not, Volpe being the second baseman. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Sean is in Old Bridge, New Jersey here on The Fan. What's up, Sean?
Hello, Lugie. Good to hear from you again.
Likewise. What's happening?
Not too bad, and I gotta say, the Yankees, I'd say the game this time was, like, a little bit, was much better than we thought, even though they haven't been, like, sometimes they haven't been doing the best, and now I'm really anxious to see, like, how it goes for when they face Boston. I wonder if it's gonna be, like, a good turnaround.
Oh, I think they're gonna smash them, much like they did last time where they dominated. Well, the scores weren't necessarily lopsided, but Boston is just not a good team this year. The Yankees are clearly superior to them. And one thing you know about the Yankees is when they get a team that's 14 games under 500, they are going to completely and utterly blitzkrieg them. So I expect a very, very, very successful weekend here for the Yankees as they go up to Boston. I think they're going to have a lot of success.
Yes, I agree so too. And you mentioning like when it's acceptable to have like a prop,
yeah,
during
to wear
like
the prop, yeah.
I'm thinking maybe on a no doubter home run, maybe.
Okay, so something like an upper decker, kind of one of those things, maybe, yeah. A grand slam. And I appreciate the call. Yeah, something like that. I didn't even think of that either. Maybe a tape measure shot. Absolutely. Yeah, look, that's why we got to set up this, and it'll be on a Big Lugowski, a 5-hour after hours, so 7 p.m. to midnight, or as an open night, as we call it here in the business. The next one I have, I think we will unveil that new, I don't even know if I want to call it a game show. I don't know what the heck I want to call it yet, but it's going to be what scenario has to be in place for you to be accepting of wearing a player wearing a home run prop. Now, obviously, that's a word salad. That won't be the title on the marquee. Number one, I can't remember that to regurgitate it every single time. And number two, it's just too wordy. So we will tighten it up for when we actually do unveil it. Let's go to Jason in Waterbury. He's on After Hours. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's good, Tommy? How are you, man?
Good. How you doing?
Yeah, Tommy, not too good, man. Listen, I love you, but you know what? Tonight is one of these nights where I could take my, you know, Met fandom and just, you know, either light it on fire or just tuck it in a garbage can, because you know what? The worst guy at his job in this country is David Stearns. And I'm going to read you some names off of some guys that could have transformed this team. And this guy's an idiot, and he should be fired, okay? Steve Cohen's the wealthiest owner in the whole sport, okay? Instead of trading guys like Brandon Sproat to Milwaukee, okay, mm-hmm. And wasting prospects, which I don't know what Sproat's going to be, but you know what? He seemed like a young guy with an electric arm, okay? And we're not supposed to move guys like that when we got an owner who's got more money than anybody else. So guys like Ranger Suarez, guys like Dylan Cease, guys like Michael King could have been here and could have transformed this whole rotation. And another guy that should have been here without a doubt is Pete Alonso, okay? And for this guy,
who was the first
idiot,
name you gave, though? Jason, I missed the first. I heard Pete.
Ranger Suarez.
Gotcha.
Who left the Phillies to go to Boston, okay? Another guy, like I said, I'm not crazy about Dylan Cease, but guess what? He's better than anybody this team's got in a rotation, especially, okay, Mr. Peralta, who is one of the worst pitchers.
Yeah, but the problem with Cease is, Jason, is he signed an awful contract. So if you wanted the services of Cease,
this guy's got money.
No. But I don't care if you have money. I still wouldn't. Yeah, but hold on a second. If I had money, I still wouldn't want to spend it unwisely and for a million years for a starting pitcher.
Why,
that's Cease, good, not great.
Well, why Cease?
Cease
is a damn good pitcher. You see what he's doing? This shit, just the other day, I was watching him. The guy was mowing through a top quality lineup in the American League, and that's what he's done pretty much.
Dylan Cease has been more about his stuff than it actually has been about results throughout his career.
He's got great stuff.
He does have great stuff, but he had a 4.55 ERA in 25. He had an over 4 ERA in 23. Dylan Cease is good, not great.
You had to
give him a million years, and he's 30 years old. The contract sucks.
Michael King was great.
Like
we
Michael
already
King.
Thought that Michael King could
like
pitch
King.
Here.
Gets hurt a lot,
pitched
though.
Well, for the Yankees, the guy should have been here. Another guy who could have transformed this rotation. And without a doubt, this idiot who lets a guy that hits 40 home runs and driving 135 walk out the door. In baseball, everybody knows you need a cleanup hitter in your lineup. You need a guy who's got maximum power who could drive and runs. You need a slugger in your lineup.
What is the Orioles' record, Jason?
Yeah, you see their starting rotation. You see how awful their pitching is. The Oriole lineup is as good as it gets.
Yeah, but you just said the Met rotation is horrible.
That's right. It is. It's pathetic. Pete Alonso. You see what Pete Alonso?
So what would the Mets record be if Pete Alonso was on the team?
They're a 500 team if Alonzo.
So he would give us 12 more wins.
He hits big home runs. You see this idiot closer, Devin Williams, when he's done here, right? Because this guy likes to bring in former Brewers who can't hack him in New York City. Mm-hmm. Devin Williams is awful.
Well, the Yankees were the original one to bring him in from Milwaukee.
That's right. And what did
would you call Brian Cashman and the Yankee organization
idiots? Yeah, Cashman's an idiot.
Who's not an idiot in your world, Jason?
These are two. What's that?
Who isn't an idiot?
Who's not an idiot?
Because you're telling me all the people are idiots. Who's not an idiot?
Yeah, I you know what, to tell you the truth, Tommy? The guys that are running the Met and the Yankee organizations right now, I love the owner. I used to
Yankees,
love him.
The Yankees were in the World Series 2 years ago. They're 17 games over 500, and they're going back to the World Series. And the Mets were in the NLCS a couple years ago. You want to give Dylan Cease the contract that the Blue Jays gave him? This is why you are not a general manager. But you are a great caller. You entertain me. I got to be honest with you, Jason. I always laugh when I'm driving home when you call Alan Gordon. So I appreciate you calling my show. Very funny. And keep it up. We're going to be talking about it for the rest of the summer. Okay. Fun show. My thanks to the callers. My thanks to the listeners out there. My thanks to Nico Scarlatos. My thanks to Fleegs. Gordon Damer comes your way next. And I'll be back later on this evening after the Yankee game. We'll talk more baseball for sure right here on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.